Hello. Well, thanks everyone for coming. Today is the New York Marathon. I feel like I have just run it.
今天就是脚踏车马拉松，我觉得我刚刚跑了一样。
So, my topic today is the question of enlightenment. And this is part two. And last time, I spoke about a lot of the questions that arise when we think about enlightenment. I spoke about the fact that we who are unenlightened, don't really know what enlightenment is, and we have all sorts of views about it, about wanting it, not wanting it, how diligent we should be, or how passive. And I talked about last time about the macho approach towards enlightenment and the marshmallow approach towards enlightenment, where one is very passive. And that passivity, that can be very, very much ego-oriented. Once Shurfu was confronted by a student who said that he felt that no one ever listened to him, that he was really quite worthless. And Shurfu reprimanded him strongly, saying, "You're really very arrogant." And that can be really true, that a very poor self-esteem no faith in oneself is kind of a conception that you know how the universe works and the universe doesn't like you, and that can be quite arrogant.
今天的题目就是开悟的问题。 我上一次已经讲过这个题目，上一次我们提出来的就是对开悟一些问题，一些问题像是我们不知道开悟到底是什么意思，我们有很多看法对这个开悟，好像我们要它，我们不知道要不要很尽力的去追，或者应该很被动的去追。 这两个看法，我自己把它翻成一个是大汉、大男人的一种态度，或者棉花糖的态度，就是我应该怎么样去处理这个问题，我怎么样应该可以了解开悟，这是因为一个很进取的一个方法，或者很被动的方法。我们看这个被动的方法，它也许很多是对那个自我感有关系。 有一次，师父有一个弟子去跟师父讲说：“哎呀，师父，我觉得我是很没有用的人，我觉得是我这个宇宙的一定都不了解我。”所以师父就向他回答说：“哎呀，这种态度就是一个自我大的一个态度。那怎么会是自我大呢？” 因为你觉得你可以了解这个宇宙是什么样的地方，就表示你很聪明、很能干，所以你还可以以为是你是很没有用的人。所以我们可以看这是一种非常骄傲的一种想法。I
also spoke of the fear of enlightenment. That is a sort of a mental illness where you know. People think that perhaps enlightenment will come upon them like that, where you'll no longer be able to relate to your life as it was. And it's not that people don't get into trouble in getting more poor mental states when they are practicing, but as we've seen from many of our teachers, the more they practice, the more grounded they actually get and the more related to everyone around them.
另外还有一种怕开悟，有的人他觉得很怕开悟，他们怕如果他们开悟，他们现在的生活他们没有办法了解，没有办法一定要放弃这个生活。但是很多老师可以教我们知道，如果你是修行，你修越修行越了解你的环境。
And I also spoke of the need for bodhicitta, a concern for others. When we practice, and I will tie into this later on when I speak about faith. Okay.
我也提过我们要开悟，我们也是要发菩提心，这个题目会等一下会多讲。
And finally, when we speak about enlightenment, and we're interested in ending suffering, and we may find ourselves hoping that somehow it is bestowed upon us, almost like magic, or other people may approach it and try and become discouraged and give up their practice.
最后我们也知道好像我们要开悟，开悟有的人觉得好像是一种礼物送给我们，也有一些人他们继续努力没有成功都很容易失望。
So as we'll see as I continue with my talk, I began with this question of enlightenment, and what I often do is I take a topic that interests me and I see where it leads me, and it's almost like working with a Watteau, with this fundamental question. And as you'll see as the talk progresses, the question of enlightenment really comes down to the question of practice and what real practice is.
我选这个题目开悟，因为我的对它很有兴趣。我每次有对什么有兴趣的话，我就喜欢继续努力下去研究它，看这个题目会带我到哪里去。那这个题目开悟实际上就是修行，所以我们会知道，讲完之前就知道开悟跟修行就是一致的。
And so this really comes down to this basic Chan dilemma of trying to catch a feather on a fan, right? If a feather's floating down and you were to try to catch it, fanning yourself, well, you would never get it. So what you want really in some ways prevents you from getting what you want. The fan itself is kind of the mind of with illusory deluded thoughts, and until that mind is quieted down a little bit, we really can't see very clearly.
所以这个题目也是有一点像禅法所讲的一个用扇子抓羽毛，一个扇子对不对？你咬这个扇子，你可没怎么会抓到一个羽毛？所以扇子就代表我们的这个没有不懂事的心啊，而且我们要这个心就是我们要的东西，它就让我们找不到的，这是一种好像有一点含着双翼，我们所要的东西，我们的心就不让我们抓到。
So this issue of how much effort do we put forth, how little effort, what kind of effort, is really taken up in the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment, where we are admonished, the Buddha admonishes us, to watch out for four faults. And I was going to write a lot of this on a whiteboard, but since we're starting late, I'll be the whiteboard in certain cases. But the four faults... I happen to have known them in Chinese, they're Zhuo, Ren, Zhur, and Mie, which come out to mean contriving. Zhuo is this character which usually means to make or create. And Ren means to allow, to permit, to allow to happen. Zhur means to stop. And Mie, the last character, is annihilating. Destroying, eliminating.
所以我们呢要了解这个开悟这个道理，我们要看这个圆觉经的一部分。圆觉经有一个观念说四病，这个四个病有四个汉字可以代表，第一个就是做，工作的做，第二个就是任务的任，第三个就是止，停止的止，第四个就是灭，灭亡的灭。
Oh. So the Buddha is really warning against any attitude at all when we practice. The subtlest manifestations of the self, of a concept of the self, even in gestures that are thought to be selfless. So, and thinking about selfless is in itself an obvious error.
所以佛只提醒我们最好要开悟，就应该有没有任何态度、任何观念在你的心里，连一个好的观念也是一种自私的一个观念。Okay,
so in this fault, in the first fault, the fault of contrivance of creating, we take pride in, or we simply express that we are doing something that is seeking enlightenment. But enlightenment cannot be manufactured or created. Sherfu explains in his commentary to the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment that contrivance has the added meaning simply of the mind's activities, hoping that they will lead to awakening.
第一个字，做，这个做含这个对我们做任何事情有觉得很骄傲。 特别是我们觉得我们要开悟，要开悟就是一个很大的一种工作，所以我对这个含着这种骄傲的或者这种高满意的一种思想。这个我们师父他也写了一个评论，他说这个开悟根本不可以创造，而被创造的。Now
allowing. That's Ren, means letting things take their course. This could be applicable to a great practitioner who believes that he or she is refraining from any view or action. It's very, very subtle. But that, of course, in itself is a subtle view or action. And this idea of letting things be could also be applied to someone who's pretty lazy in their practice. And so the Buddha says that complete enlightenment does not come through accepting things as they are. That would be samsara only.
第二个，忍，忍就是意思就是说，就是让事情当做他们自己，就是情形怎么样就是怎么样的。这个佛说，有的人他们已经修行很久。 他们觉得，哦，我就是让事情就是当做他们自己该怎么样就怎么样，继续用这个态度。一用这个态度，你就是不是在实行这个开悟，或者走那个开悟的往那个方向。而且这种态度也是很懒的人也可以用，说啊，我可以做这边，事情都是这个样子，并不是说要往开悟的这个方向。Okay,
so stopping. Right, jur. It's the same character in Chinese that's used for the Sanskrit samatha. And that refers to bringing the mind to a halt. And as the Buddha says, the nature of complete enlightenment does not conform with the stopping of thoughts. This is a common error that people often commit when they're practicing, that one must free one's mind from all thoughts, and that of course simply causes more agitation.
Okay. 第三个字止，就是完全停止的意思。那有的人他们修行以为，我们最好没有任何观念、任何思想，就是取消思想的意思。但是开悟不是取消思想。所以这是一个很大的问题，一个错，就是以为你不要完全想，你要想一个办法不想，东西就会让你更焦急。Okay.
So the last of the four faults is annihilation, that a practitioner will eliminate all vexations, body and mind, and all illusions, so that they will end in utter nothingness and complete emptiness. And this, of course, is not truly accepting things as they are, you know, as opposed to allowing everything to happen without any interference.
最后一个灭, 就是灭亡，一个人以为，一个修行者以为啊，我要灭亡所有的思想，所有的思想我就可以开悟。但是这个不是开悟，你这样子要灭亡你的思想，不是说接受世界而接受它这个样子的世界。
Okay, and this dilemma, once again, the catching, the feather with a fan, reminds me of, there's a passage in the Prajnaparamita literature, that's in a book by Kanzi, where a deva, asks the Buddha, how did you withstand the flood? And the flood, of course, is suffering. And the Buddha said, well, when I moved forward or backwards or sideways, I got swept away. And if I stayed in the same place, I sank. So I withstood the flood by neither moving forward or staying in the same place.
有在一个经，有一个神问佛说，你怎么可以还可以阻止，还可以安全地经过一个大洪水，一个大泛滥？那这个洪水就是痛苦，就是代表痛苦。那佛回答说，我发现如果我往前往后往右往左，那我这个水就会带我，这是唯一的方法，就是安安静静的，就是坐在中间，我才可以阻止这个泛滥。
So neither moving nor staying in the same place, that is to not be confined by the conceptual mindSo, waiting, wishing, anticipating, consciously cultivating, these are all contrivances. These are all things that the ego does very, very subtly, in the search for enlightenment.
我们要找觉悟，我们的心都会想任何一个方法来开悟，就是避这个或让这个任何什么事情变成一个特别的样子，你以为你可以控制，也许你就可以开悟。但这个不是往开悟的一个方向。
So this question of one's attitude and how to practice segs very nicely into a story that I'm sure many of you are familiar with of Mazu Dawi and Nanyue Hairan, two great practitioners who lived in the Tang Dynasty.
这个态度就是让我想出一个很有趣的故事。这个故事有两个角色，一个是马祖道一，另外一个是南玉怀让，这两个都是唐朝的修行者。
So, Master Nanyue was the master of Mazu. Mazu had been studying with him for a certain period. It's not clear in the Tang Dynasty history. But one day, Huairong passed by and saw Nanyue meditating very intensely. And he said to him, "What are you doing meditating all the time?" And Mazu said, and I'm assuming proudly, "I am trying to become a Buddha." So then Nanyue sat down and picked up a brick and took another stone and started to polish it. And Mazu looked at him after a while and said, what are you doing? And Hairong said, "Well, I'm polishing this brick in order to turn it into a mirror." Mazu thought about that and said, "Can't do that. You can't turn a brick into a mirror." And Huairong said to Mazu, "Well, you can't become a Buddha by simply meditating."
南玉怀让就是师父，马祖道一是他的弟子。那马祖道一常常打坐，一直在打坐。那南玉怀让就看他，问他说，你为什么老是在打坐？所以马祖道一回答说，我要变佛。所以南玉怀让拿一个砖头，也拿一个另外一个石头，开始摩擦那个砖头，一直摩擦摩擦。 所以马祖道一就问他说，你为什么 要摩擦这个钻头？他说我要造一个镜子。说马祖道一说啊，你怎么可能摩擦这个钻头就变成一个镜子？所以南玉怀让回答说，你怎么可以变佛？而一是老是在打坐，打坐是不可以只打坐而变佛的。
So then, Ma Zu, who was a good student, said to Huairong, well, what is the best way then? And Huairong said, well, look, if you wanted to get your ox cart moving and it was stuck, who would you whip? Or what would you whip? Would you whip the ox cart or would you whip the ox?
So Ma Zu 就问南玉怀让问，他就问他说，那你怎么可以变佛？所以南玉怀让就回答这么说，如果你有一个牛车，就在个牛不烂那个车，你要拿一个鞭子打车子或打牛。
And I'm thinking about this, I realize a variation on this story, which I'm just making up now, but Huairong could have said to Ma Zu, well, I'm polishing a brick in order to create a brick. And of course, Ma Zu would have said, well, why would you bother to do that? But in this particular case, the reason that he's talking about changing a brick into a mirror is because there's this expectation of transformation that Ma Zu believes that he's now not a Buddha. There's something missing in him, something that he has to attain, and that's why he's meditating in the way that he is.
我看了这个故事以后，我又想出另外一个做法。这个南玉怀让可以让这个马祖道一了解，他可以回答说：“我是要把这个砖头变成一个砖头。”那是这是什么意思？马祖道一他以为他打坐会有一个大变化，他说从一个人就变成一个佛。
Okay, so this story is often misunderstood as simply a statement that you can't get enlightened through meditation, which may or may not be true, but that's really not the point of this story. It's that, well, first of all, as a number of teachers have said, enlightenment is an accident that happens. You can't make it happen, but meditation makes you more accident prone. So there's definitely a relationship, but it's not a direct one-on-one cause. That's the first point. But the most important point about the story is that Ma Zu was filled with desire to become a Buddha. That was what Huairong saw. And that Huairong saw that in and of itself was one of the main things that was preventing Ma Zu from progressing.
这个故事常常被误会的，以为是打坐不可以变佛，不可以开悟。但是这个故事的最重要的意思就是说，这个南玉怀让看马祖道一，他要好渴望好想变一个佛，他这种渴望就是阻止他变佛。
Okay, so if meditation really didn't help us, right, we have beginning intermediate retreats here, we have one-day retreats, and we have intensive retreats at DDRC, we would just cancel them tomorrow. Right? So once again, it's very important to understand that it's not meditation in and of itself that's the issue here. It's this presumption in the mind that meditation will directly result in enlightenment. Once again, this is the fault of contrivance, as it says in the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment. We're trying to create something that is uncreate, that is the causal ground, that is true nature, Buddha nature, something that has been ever present and is neither changing nor unchanging, but certainly is nothing that we can attain with our conceptual mind.
所以这个故事的这个最重要的意思就是说，我们都是想用我们的心，我们就打坐就可以辩佛。那不是说打坐不能开悟，要不然我们这边的初一、初七、初十就取消，何必需要？不是这个意思。意思不是说打坐不可以开悟，而是我们心里所含的这种态度。
So once again, this is would be like gilding refined gold. The gold is already there. It has to be uncovered or realized, but not created.
这个好像是用黄金盖黄金，黄金已经在，我们就是要解开来看。
So when Ma Zu asks what is the best way, and Nan Yue answers with that question about the ox cart, do you whip the cart or the ox? What exactly is the ox that we're talking about? And this is what I was referring to earlier. This is the ox is the true nature. And of course, this ties into many people may be familiar with the 10 ox herding pictures where the ox in the beginning is the true mind, but it isn't even perceived in the slightest. Eventually, we may see the tracks of the ox, and then seeing the ox itself is seeing the nature, is actually having a significant enlightenment experience.
所以再回去看这个。 难于怀让，怎么回答马祖道义的问题？用这个用鞭子打牛，或是用鞭子打车？有在佛教在禅佛有一个很出名的十个图画啊，我就翻成放牛那个图画，放牛十个。那这个牛是代表什么？这个牛就是代表我们的真正的那个。 我们的性别，我们的性，就是说我们的佛性，所以看问题就是这个牛，就是代表佛性，但是没有人注意到这个牛，他们就注意到这个情况。你如果你心可以看清楚这个牛的真正的这个个性，它的那个性，你才是开悟的。So
the cart is our the delusional mind, illusory thoughts. It is the finger that's pointing to the moon. When someone points to the moon, normally you don't go like this. You see where they're pointing. And in my last talk, I spoke about Master Wu Men, who likened people who had an itch on their foot, but they scratched the shoe. They were scratching the wrong place. Sort of seems to be in the right area, but it's 1,000 miles off the mark.
所以这个车子就是代表我们有幻想的，我们想不清楚的心。所以我们的这个一直看这个车子，不看这个牛。就是像上一次讲过的，这个无门法师问那个一个弟子说，如果你的脚痒，你要抓脚或者抓鞋子。 那两个东西差不多都在一起，鞋子跟脚差不多了，但是你是对着那个鞋子，不对着那个脚，就是完全错过这个开悟的机会。So,
the ox is the true nature. That is what we are. That is really the aim of enlightenment. Even though, once again, when we talk about the aim of enlightenment, we risk getting off the mark. So it's all well and good to talk about the true nature as formless and ungraspable. But if that's the case, well, what approach can we take? So Huairong continued, are you practicing sitting in meditation, or are you practicing to sit like a Buddha? As to sitting in meditation, Meditation is neither sitting nor lying. See, once again, he's taking away what our normal conception of what we think meditation is. And as to sitting like a Buddha, the Buddha has no fixed form. In the non-abiding Dharma, that's the true Dharma, one should neither grasp nor reject. If you try to sit like a Buddha, you're simply killing the Buddha. And if you attach to the form of sitting, then you do not penetrate this principle.
如果是打坐禅坐，禅坐不是坐，也不是躺。如果是你要像佛，你做这边就可以像一个佛，佛没有一个模样，所以如果你这个不执着的佛法，你不应该取，也不应该放。如果你要像一个办法坐像佛做的这个样子，你就是杀那个佛。如果你执着坐的那个样子，那你就是不是在真进去这个道理。
So I want to revisit something that I talked about in my last talk. I was talking about the gateless gate, and this will allow me to get up so I don't fall asleep while I'm talking. And let me just write character. So this is that's whoa, no, right? And here's the door. And here is the barrier. So, this is once again, because sometimes when it's called the gateless gate, you can see, I mean, if you can't read Chinese, that these two characters are different. This one has got, this is supposedly silk inside, and this is a door. It almost looks like a door in a Western saloon, if you've watched a lot of cowboy movies. And this is the character for no, and it shows a forest that's been burned out. Now, one thing, and here's there's the quote for you. I was came across Mazu, who in referring to this gateless gate, points out that this is not simply no, that Wu in this particular case also means empty, kung, right? Empty. I should write this in English, right? Empty. Emptiness. So the gateless gate is a gate that is empty. It's not what we think it is. Now, one way of looking at this says here are some. There are two doors here in the Chan Hall that are open, right? So the doorway is a barrier, right? But the door is open, so we could walk through. So there's no barrier in this particular thing. But now there's a solid wall there. That too is a gateless barrier, right? It's a barrier. We can't walk through it. And it doesn't have a door. So it is a barrier with no door. Right? This is another interpretation. Now, interestingly enough, our minds... Oh, maybe I should... I'm sorry. I got carried away. Please. Okay.
那三个字,无门关... 无实际上就是很多树烧掉的，所以现在树里没有树。门可以看这个门里面没有东西，这个门也是很像。如果你是看过美国西部电影，它的酒吧都是有这种门，两片。第三个门里面有丝，就是可以挡住。所以。 这个第一个字无实际上也含这个意思，空。所以空的门是没有主旨的门。我们看这两个门在这里，这个门是没有主旨的，你可以进去。看墙壁，墙壁也是没有一个门，但是主进不去的。
So as I was saying, the that wall is a gateless gate. Now, interestingly enough, when something like this comes up, people, I mean, I'm one of them, might instantly think, wait a second, wait, we're talking about enlightenment, about no barriers or whatever. There's got to be something wrong there. I mean, if I were a Buddha or whatever, I wouldn't be obstructed by a wall.That, what I just said, that was a perfect illusory thought. Right? The idea of that being an obstacle or not being an obstacle is something I just manufactured. Right? I don't believe that before I brought this up, anyone in the room thought about walking through this wall. So that kind of an idea, that's an ego-saturated kind of idea. That's like Marvel Comics Buddhism, you know, where we are not simply accepting things as they are.
所以再回去看这个墙壁，说是一个没有门的门，进不去的。那我们也许会想，我一样的会想，那个佛怎么会有一个可以阻止他的门？一看这个门当作一个无门的一个门。就是一种我们自己自我所想出来的一种障碍物，所以这个就是我们自己常常用我们的脑、我们的思想、我们的想法创造这些障碍的东西。这个佛不会这么想，不会要想到一个门或是一个没有一个阻止我们的一个空门。
So it becomes pretty obvious as we talk about enlightenment and our approach to it that we're really talking about practice itself. Because when we talk about enlightenment, we're really playing around with a lot of ideas. And when we talk about practice, we're talking about what is happening right now in this moment.So, and when we talk about grasping and pushing away, I mean, people who've attended a lot of Dharma lectures often hear that's how we live our lives. We are pushing things away, we are grasping them. And we talk about it as if it's a bad thing. Right. Now, we recognize, well, before we study Buddha Dharma, before these things...start to occur to us, we simply accept that that's what we do. We grasp, we push things away, and it's a very logical approach. It certainly makes sense that we seek pleasure and that we want to avoid pain. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just go back to the other page. It's not there. Anyway.我们开始修行，我们都学习，我们的心常常要取东西，要放东西，我们要取的，我们要抓的，我们要拿的就是好东西，就是会让我们很愉快的，我们就会拒绝会让我们很痛苦很不愉快的一些东西。
That it's natural.
这是很自然的一种做法，很自然的一种思想。
So it really is a very logical approach to do this. However, what we start to find is that it really doesn't work most of the time. And when you really, really investigate, it never works. We're always in this state of samsara, of seeking and avoiding. And sometimes things feel better than other times, but in those times, we're really not looking at what is truly bothering us and what is truly the nature of our lives.
所以这是很自然的，我们喜欢的东西我们要抓，我们不喜欢的东西我们要推不要了，但是这个不会帮助我们开悟，因为我们很自然的就是在生活上就是要有娱乐或要追娱乐，或是要避免这个痛苦。
Continuing with this investigation of how things are, once we start to practice and we start to learn the first of the two noble truths, that there is a condition about life that is suffering, that is unsatisfactory, is uneaseful, and we start to see that there's a certain cause of it, and we wish to really get to the bottom and get rid of that cause, so we become interested in enlightenment. But we can be co-opted by these ideas. So we think, all right, normally I want to get things that are pleasurable and I want to avoid things that are painful, so enlightenment is going to get things that are pleasurable for me, and it's going to help me avoid things that are painful.
So, 如果我们是刚刚开始修行，开始对佛教有兴趣，我们都会学习那个四正道，苦集灭道。那我们就先看这个第一跟第二，苦跟集，苦就是生活就是苦，集就是原因，就是我们就是要抓到东西，我们执着东西。 所以我们就看这个开悟，以为意思是说，哦，开悟就会让我收集所有的让我愉快的东西，而放弃所有让我痛苦的东西。So
how can we practice and not get fooled? Right. So easy to fall into these contrivances. Well, here's what Dogen Zenji says in Shoji, it's Birth and Death. He says, you only attain the mind of Buddha when there is no hating of birth and death and no desiring of nirvana. But do not try to gauge it with your mind or speak it with words. And right in that phrase, do not try to gauge it with your mind or speak it with words, is a central tenet of Chan practice, pretty much what Bodhidharma said of the practice being outside of words and outside of tradition.
所以有日本那个法师道元西玄，他说，我们知道这个娑婆世界跟这个涅槃的那个差别，我们要到涅槃，我们就是要避免要放弃这些执着的这些现象。
Yours is different from mine. At a different page. Okay. Okay.
Okay. 所以，如果我们要这个佛的心，我们就是要不讨厌生跟死，这个就是涅槃。So,
Dogen goes on to say, when you simply release and forget your body and mind and throw yourself into the house of Buddha, and when function comes from the direction of the Buddha and you go in accord with it, then with no strength is needed and no thought expended, freed from birth and death, you become Buddha.
Okay. Okay, 所以如果你对这个涅槃跟娑婆世界这两个 你不要想一想它，你不要用话讲出来，你就是放它，而忘记你的身体，也忘记你的心，而让你自己进去佛的那个房子。你这样子，不用心想，你就会变佛。
Okay. And then finally, he says, there can be no obstacle in any man's mind once you you undertake to the practice like this. There is an extremely easy way to become Buddha. Refrain from all evils, not clinging to birth and death, working in deep compassion for all sentient beings, respecting those over you, and pitying those below you without any detesting or desiring, worry, or lamentation. This is what is called Buddha. Do not search beyond it.
如果你要开悟，那你心里不可有任何阻止物、障碍物。有一个很容易的方法可以变佛，就是不要做坏事，不要执着生跟死。你对那些众生就是要很用慈悲心对待他们，要尊敬那些地位高的，你要可怜比你地位低的，你不要含着这个讨厌或是这个渴望、这个忧虑或是一个贪心，这个就是佛。你不要找得更远。
Of course, this is very easy for Dogen to say. He was a great spiritual master and a genius. And it reminds me of an old joke of how do you carve an elephant? And the way you do that is you take a block of wood and you remove everything from it that doesn't look like an elephant.
这个大愿法师是一个天才，所以他很容易可以想出而说出这些话。那我们不是天才，所以他的道理我都想出一个笑话。这个笑话是这样说，如果你有一块木头，你怎么可以刻出来一个大象，就是把不像大象的东西刻出来，那这是什么意思？我们怎么知道？如果你不知道一个大象像什么样子，你不可能刻出一个大象。
It helps if you know what an elephant looks like, but this is the dilemma that I'm talking about in many ways, is that we're talking about enlightenment, and we don't really know what it looks like, what it feels like. We're probably fairly certain that we don't have it, but that kind of certainty is really doubt, and it's something that is getting in our way.
所以就是好像我们要开悟，如果你只要刻一个大象，你不知道大象的样子，我们要开悟也不知道开悟是什么样子，我们有一点观念，但是实际上我们不是百分之百的或是一点知道了解这个开悟的意思，所以不知道开悟的意思就变成一种障碍物。
So it's Dogen who said that practice is enlightenment. And this is a very freeing idea. It is something that if you really, really take it to heart, it can assuage or relieve a lot of doubts, a lot of fears that perhaps you're working in the wrong way, that this is not working out for you. And there are many, many obstacles on the road as we practice. So what practice is really all about is the moment that we're in. Now, right now, everyone who is sitting here or listening, if you think about what are you really experiencing at this moment? I doubt that anyone is sitting there with the thought, I'm sitting at a lecture, I'm sitting at a lecture, I'm sitting at a lecture. I doubt that is going on in anyone's mind. Or that you may be thinking or experiencing, I'm hearing words, I'm hearing words, I'm hearing words. When you're not really hearing words at all, you're hearing sounds. The words are in your mind. I mean, if you didn't understand English or Chinese, what I'm saying would indeed be nothing more than random sounds.
这是大愿法师说修行就是开悟。那如果我们用这个态度，修行就是开悟，就会让我们喘一口气。我们现在不用那么担心，不知道我们在干什么。那什么叫修行？ 修行就是觉悟这一秒钟的事情，就是百分之百的在现在，面对这个现在的情况，不是想过去或是想到未来。那我们现在坐这边听这个演讲，相信如果问你们，你们现在有没有考虑到正在做什么？大概没有什么人坐这边一面想，哦，现在是听一个讲义，我现在就是坐这个椅子听一个讲义。我们不是这样子，我们不是说每一秒钟都是想一想我们正在做每一件事情。
When you talk about practice, you pretty much often talk about the obstacles to practice, and it would be hard to avoid talking about the three poisons. Now, I've talked about greed and hatred, desire and aversion, certainly in those four faults from the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment. But the most difficult obstacle is, of course, ignorance. And ignorance is something which you can't see. You can notice when somebody is angry. You may notice when you yourself are angry, or when someone is desirous, or you're desirous. But how do you see ignorance? Right? Ignorance, I've been defining as being unaware of what you're most aware of, as I tried to show in that demonstration of just knowing what you're experiencing right at this moment. All of the things in your mind, all of your experience, it's something that you can call on, but what is actually going on at this very moment?
讲到开悟，也不能不讲到三毒。大家知道三毒，贪嗔痴，他很贪心，就是讨厌跟这个没有知识的贪嗔痴。那这三个我已经讲，大概提过几次，贪嗔痴，这三个最不容易了解，最不容易看到，就是痴。贪，我们可以知道我们很贪心，我们对什么都要，趁我们不过对什么东西有什么人有一个反感，就我们很容易了解这个就是嗔。但是痴呢，这个没有知识，这个我们看不出来。所以痴这个没有知识，也可以写这个定义，我们所感觉到的完全没有觉悟到的。
So ignorance is what we're least aware of, being we're unaware of everything that is going around us as it is. We're usually adding our own sense, our own take on things. And the abbot at DDRC, Guoxing Fasher, is often talking about how we take everything as ourself. And that was confusing at first. It doesn't mean, like if you look at the wall, it doesn't mean like I think that the wall is a part of my body. But what it means is that I look at the wall as a wall only. I see it according to my experience of it. And I then relate not to the wall itself, but I relate to my experience.
所以我们这个痴就是最难了解。痴我们就是对事情对东西我们看的我们看得很清楚，但是我们不是，我们是看的我们所感觉到的那个样子。国兴法师常常说我们把东西当作我们自己，这个不是意思不是说这个都是我的一部分，而是说我看一个东西，但是我用我的心所了解的情况来分类这个东西，或是给这个东西一个定义。
So what will let us see through all of these issues? We've talked about greed and hatred and ignorance. So how is it that we can see clearly and not get caught up in this sense of self? And as often happens, I have enough material now for two more lectures right now, and I think I'm going to talk about Hui Neng now, who is certainly one of the central figures in all of Chan practice, and his teachings are very, very basic and are directed towards seeing through our normal delusionary thoughts, or not getting caught up in them is probably a better word. And I want to just talk about two things that Wei Neng cites, and I'll write these on the board. One is, it's like this. This is ding. This is samadhi or meditation. And the other one is hui, which is wisdom. And in a famous passage from the Platform Sutra, Wei Neng explains how wisdom, which is this experience, living at in the world of reality, seeing things the way that they are, and samadhi, which is developing the mind, developing the concentration powers in order to perceive that, he makes it clear that these two things are the same. And he likens them to a lamp and the light that shines from them, that they can be separated functionally, but they can't be separated at all, then neither one exists.
我准备了好多材料，大概可以讲三个讲习，所以我现在我在想，我要多提关于个慧能法师、慧能祖师，所以用他的经来谈一谈这个问题。所以现在我写这两个字在黑板上，一个是定，一个是慧。那这个英文就是定，可以说是 samadhi 三摩地，或者是 meditation 禅坐。这个慧英文就是 wisdom， 就是智慧。那这个慧能法师说，慧能祖师说，这两个不是分开的，它是一起的，是一体的，不是两体的。所以定就含慧，慧就含定。
All right, let me tell you where I'm going with this. The reason I'm using these concepts is because this character Ding is very difficult to translate. It can mean, normally when we hear about samadhi, we think of exalted levels of concentration, meditative absorption. We think of it as something that is really in the realm of bodhisattvas, and this is actually quite true in the practice. The Buddha is often spoken of as being in samadhi. So when I was first reading the Platform Sutra, and I came across some translations that use the word meditation, I scoffed at it, you know, internally arrogant, and I thought, boy, well, that's a dumb translation. This is, you know, meditation could be anything. Why are they using that word when samadhi is this powerful, important, classic state of mind?
所以我开始念那个慧能的时候，他就开始看这个字定。那这个定不容易翻译，所以有的说可以翻成三摩地 （samadhi） 或者打坐、定坐。所以我开始看这个坛经的时候，我看他翻成这个 samadhi， 还翻成 meditation， 就是三摩地跟那个打坐，它怎么可能是一样的？这是错的。我你知道，我自己当然看，我自己觉得我非常聪明能干的，所以我看的哦，这个不一样的。三摩地就是这种修行很久的人，他们就可以已经得到一些很高很高的这个打坐的这个界， 而打坐就是我们随便坐下坐打坐的。
So, using meditation, I've decided really isn't bad. Because if you think of this as meditation, then that means that someone who comes into CMC for the first time and learns how to sit, how to cross their legs, how to sit with their back erect, and their first effort in counting the breath, that is samadhi, that is meditation. And that is a very liberating thought, I feel, because it makes these terms, which normally seem so exalted and so far from us, much closer to home. And I don't have Huineng here to corroborate this, but in this passage where he talks about samadhi being wisdom, wisdom being samadhi or meditation, he makes it clear that neither one precedes the other. They are one and the same. To think otherwise would be dualistic thinking. So if he's not going to distinguish between these two terms, he's certainly not going to distinguish between great, exalted concentration, meditative absorption, and someone whose mind is wandering, who's trying to meditate.
但是我越想，我越看这个《坛经》，我越想越觉得是很有道理。因为慧能就是说，定就是慧，慧就是定，这两个都是一起。所以我们看这个定，我们也一样的也可以想，为什么要分沙摩地跟普通的打坐？你刚刚开始数气。你数气，你坐那边数气，大概90%，你就是散心，心分到哪里去？但是有一些人，一些人他们就是修行很久，他们可以真正的很专心的，得到很高的一种水准。这个两个都含，都是一样的，都是打坐，都是沙摩地，所以我越来越觉得这两个应该是同一个意思，不要分开，你分开这个，分开慧跟定，就是对立思想，对立思想是错的思想。
And so in the literature, there are two types of ding. There is san ding, and there is chan ding, right? San means scattered. And chan, of course, is a name for our practice, but it means dhyana, like deep samadhi. And these are both those kinds of ding, are understood to be part of the practice.
所以定可以可以分两种，一个是善定，一个是禅定。善就是分开的，飞来飞去的；禅就是禅那，原来的这个印度的那个禅那的意思，就是沙摩地，我们翻成沙摩地。所以就是一样的，就是打坐。
Okay, so in the remaining time, what I'd like to do is just go a little bit further into Huineng and talk about his three methods. And a lot of people have heard these quite a bit. I'm going to take something of a new angle on them. Everyone knows that there is, it's Wu, right? And remember, Wu Nian. All right. So this is no thought, right? And remember, this could be emptiness of thought. And then pardon my calligraphy. Wu Nian as Zhong. All right. So this I'm blocking out on Zhong. Is that it? All right. Yeah. Anyway, principle. Now. Okay.
Zong.
Yeah.
Chan Zong de Tong.
All right. Go
one
ahead.
More little line between is above it, in there, and you'll have it.
Is that it? Yeah. Okay.
Pretty much.
All right. Thanks. All right. All right. Go ahead. You want to translate that? Yeah. And I'll write the other.
所以我还要继续研究慧能。他写这四个字，一个是无念。 无也是空的意思，没有思想。为中为中就是说把没有思想做我们的那个道理。
Okay, so, also it's interesting, this character, Nian, has now over the mind. That's, you know, the thoughts. And, what I want to point out is that, alright, and the last one, of course, is, Wuju, no dwelling. So, and that's, this one's pretty easy to write, Wei, and, Bun. Okay. Alright. Now, we often concentrate on these parts, right? People have heard this quite a bit. No thought, no form, right? In this character show, this is an eye looking at a tree, actually being aware of characteristics. And no dwelling or attachment. Now, it could also, remember as I talked about, this character can also mean empty. So it could mean the sort of the emptiness of thoughts, the emptiness of form, the emptiness of dwelling or attachment. And this is explained, of course, in the Platform Sutra, that no thoughts or emptiness thoughts meaning not being attached to thoughts. No characteristics or marks, you know, that means something that has color or weight or a sound that hits the sense organ. All of that is a form or a characteristic that they exist, but you're not attached to them. And no dwelling is that you don't identify, have any place or any self that is fixed, that there's the mind is totally unattached. Now this I think many people have heard, and I'll go over it again. What people sort of never talk about are these, the three things: principle, essence, and foundation. And when I heard those, maybe you want to translate now?
Yeah. OK, 所以在黑板上无念为宗，宗就是道理的意思，就是说你的思想没有思想，就是真正的是道理。OK, 第二个是无相为体，体就是那个本质，所以我们要看到东西，听到东西，当然有颜色，有声音，这是真正的实际上都有，但是我们不要执着它，意思是不要执着。最后一个无助为本，就是说你不要思想一直抓住，一直执着，不要让你的心一直要抓住东西，所以本这个是最基本的。
Okay, now I know this is somewhat abstract, but I'm trying to make this clear, and because I think this is very important. So when I first read about these methods or principles in the Platform Sutra, and I read principle, essence, and foundation, my eyes glazed over. I mean, the words are so abstract. I mean, and I think I just ignored them. But I really think that they're quite important, and I will try to explain why.
我知道这些观念非常抽象，我也一样的。我第一次看到这些，我看到这个宗、这个体、这个定这三个字，我就说，哎，我根本抓不住它的意思，所以我没有理它。但是我自己觉得，大概非常重要的一些观念。
So what is a principle anyway? Right? It's a pretty abstract word. A principle is a guideline. An understanding that is adhered to. That's what a principle is. It is the thing that guides one along. And all of these, the reason for all of these abstract things, I think it's because Huineng is pointing out that this is about practice, right? I'll come back to the others in a moment. Because if you think about it, no thought, no form, no dwelling. Well, who cares? I mean, what difference does it make? Why would we even want to know about these things? Now, there's a very important reason why we want to know. Because these are practices, these are understandings, which are absolutely fundamental to the practice. And these terms are cluing us in to how important they are and how they are structured. And the other thing, the reason that these terms are used, I believe, is because these are all pointing to what Huineng calls the formlessness, right? And formlessness is, right, you can't talk about it, you can't grasp it, you can't describe it, yet it is the very nature of our existence. But we, with our delusional minds, are caught up in our own thoughts, and we're not seeing this true mind, this Buddha nature. So the principle, it means that having no thought, seeing the emptiness of thoughts, not getting caught up in thought, is what we must follow in order to arrive at this understanding of wisdom and samadhi that I talked about before. Much the same as essence is what something is truly composed of, right? And this the idea that everything, the marks, everything that we think describes something for us, that we think that this is a table, we think that that it has a tablecloth on it, and we think that it's white. But the essence of really what it is that these markers, these things that usually tell us what things are empty. That's the essence of what they are. And the idea of no dwelling, that is the foundation, that is talking about our original nature. At the start, at base, what we really are beings that dwell nowhere. And even using the word being might be a little problematic.
第二个无相为体，无相就是我们不要执着我们的思想，不要执着我们的思想是我们的道理，我们的主义，就会让我们开心开悟。第二个无相为体，无相就是我们看东西，看这个桌子，这是一个桌子，桌子有桌布，桌布是白色。我们看到的就是我们所形容它，但是实际上这些形容词也是空的，也是就是我们思想，活在我们思想里面。体本质就是他们的本意，我们要知道真正的本质就是空的。第三个无助为本。 这个意思是说，我们的心实际上不住哪里，没有一个肯定的地方，就是可以说我们的心在那边。所以这个就是我们的基本道理本。Okay,
so and once again, I realize this is quite abstract, but one more point in order to bring home the importance and perhaps make it a little more concrete is that these three things can be associated with the fundamental teaching of Buddhism that is common to all schools, the three characteristics of suffering, impermanence, and no self. So, no thought, suffering. The shaky board. Right? Why do we suffer? Well, it is because of our thoughts. Our thoughts, our take on the situation, that things are not what we want them to be, either because we're in a state of pain or we're we're in a state of not the pleasure that we want, or we're in ecstasy and we want to hold on to it. All of those states of mind originate in our thinking. So no thought directly points to the teaching of suffering.
So these three also, 不管你是佛教哪一宗派，都是一模一样的。但是心佛就是心，这三个，一个是那个无想，无没有思想，完全没有这个怎么说，开我们这个思想就是空的。
Okay, and the next one, form, no form as the essence, that points to impermanence. If things are continually changing, got that in, if things are continually changing, moment to moment, and as a matter of fact, not even moment to moment, that they are, since they have no real substance, there's nothing to hold on to. There's no way that anything could have a characteristic since it doesn't stop for a moment. There is always movement in the mind. So no characteristic, no mark directly points to the characteristic of existence that life is impermanence. And of course, impermanence can be understood in many, many ways, from just that we progress from little babies to old people, seniors, and then we die, and that everything around us is continually in flux, to understanding things on a moment-to-moment basis, that there is nothing that is stable.
我从头上一次跟这一次一起，我上一次翻译的不对。第一个就是无念为宗，这个无念就是说我们不要执着我们的思想，不要执着我们这个我们这些观念。如果我们执着，那我们就苦。苦就是佛教一个第一个基本道理。刚刚讲的无相为体，体的本质。无相就是我们所讲的无常。你知道，我们知道这个佛教说什么都是无常，什么都会变，没有任何东西一秒钟的第二秒钟是一样的，什么一直在变。所以我们看这个观念，无相为体，跟我们佛教的无常完全有关系。
And finally, no self, which may be, it's certainly very close to the most important concept in Buddhism, maybe after dependent arising, but the idea, the reality that our idea of who we are is a product of our delusional thinking. So if that's true, there is no place to dwell. There is no attachment. There is no identity. And if we look at who we are mothers and daughters and sons and fathers. We are workers. And when we're walking on the street, we are people who are walking on the street. And what is our identity in all of those times? Well, it's a provisional identity because it's continually changing. Where is the one area, the one part, the identity that is really who we are, the name that we can find that we can really call ourselves? And that doesn't exist according to Buddhist teaching. There is no particular thing that you can pin it on. There's no place to dwell. And that is the concept. Remember, no self is a kind of, is a misleading term. It doesn't mean that there's no one here talking. It can be called non-self, or perhaps best, no attachment to self, no real identifiable self. But there's certainly a conventional self.
最后一个就是佛教一个非常基本的道理，就是无住为本。无住就是说我不住在任何一定的地方。我们都在这里，有的是女儿，有的是妈妈，有的是儿子，有的是爸爸。我如果在马路上走路，我们就是一个行人。所以每次我形容我的这些字是变的，不一样的。所以我们说无住为本跟这个佛教的无我有关系。无我不是说我不在这里讲话，无我是说没有一个完全不变的一个我，一直是在变化，一直在变化。所以不能说我可以用一个字形容我是谁，因为根本没有一个字可以形容我是谁。
So in order to start to sum up, just to narrate this journey that I took in the talk, which began talking about the question of enlightenment, this very interesting question of what we think it is, how we approach it, with the understanding that we don't really know what it is, but we have ideas about it. And because we have ideas about it, and because it's attractive, we are led to practice. But then when we practice, when we have this idea of enlightenment, this goal in our mind, we see that that goal in and of itself is the product of our delusional thinking. So we're in something of a bind. And the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment points out how subtle this bind can be, how easily we can be deluded, how easy it is for us to fool ourselves. So I next concentrated on, well, there was the example of Ma Zhu and Huairong, and where this era of practice is pointed out very graphically in trying to polish a brick to make a mirror, and trying to sit, and trying to become a Buddha in some purposeful way is something that is going down the wrong path. So finally led to the inevitable next step, which is to concentrate on practice. What's true practice? What is true understanding? And in order to get to that point, I called on the great patriarch of Chan and tried to elucidate the main points of his teaching in the Platform Sutra.
我要结论一下，开始我提出这个问题，我们不知道开悟到底是什么意思。那开悟，因为我们要开悟，我们就是要修行。所以修行我们有一个目的，还有一个观念，但是这个目的跟观念就是我们不清楚的脑筋所想出来的。所以这个圆觉经就让我们知道，我们好容易可以骗自己，好容易没有这个清楚的思想。从这个我就提到这个马祖跟怀让他们两个摩擦这个钻头，可以弄一个镜子的这个比喻啊，知道我们的做法是错的。这样子我就提到这个要多注意到修行，不要注意到开悟。开悟我们根本没办法百分之百的了解这个意思，但是我们可以修行，修行慢慢就会让我们到这个开悟这条路。所以我们要了解什么叫真实的修行跟真实的了解。所以我是用这个我们那个祖师慧能来帮我解释一下这个道理。
Well, we're coming very close to the end and I have a lot of material, but perhaps, if anyone has any questions, I could entertain some in a few minutes remaining.
有没有什么问题可以先问一下？
Yes.
The suffering, impermanence, and no self, are those the
Right, the three characteristics or the three marks of existence.
And what does the word emptiness come in that equation?
Ah, well, that's a good...
Where does the word emptiness come into the equation with suffering, impermanence, and no self? Because that's another key word that we hear all the time.
Right.
就看这个苦跟这个无我这三个就是我们存在的三个可以形容我们的生活所以这位先生问的这个跟空有什么关系空在哪里
Just to repeat the question of where emptiness fits in all of these three characteristics. Well, for one thing, as I pointed out, the wu, right, which we all know, anyone who's done Wato practice, that wu is synonymous with emptiness in and of itself. So when you say no self, you're really saying emptiness of self, you know, emptiness of permanence, you know, emptiness of self. That's really, so it's really understood. It's brought out more in Mahayana practice. But I think it's lurking there all the time because there's all of those three characteristics point to a continually changing scenario. Nothing that has any identity from its own side. So emptiness is I think understood within all of those concepts.
所以我们看这个无念无相无住无跟空一样的所以如果我们看这个无我就是空我或是无常就是空的这个样子这个样子不一直在都是一直在变化空所以我们可以看到这个空根本就是含在这三个字里面
Are you satisfied? That doesn't. It's mix and match, right? I don't think that you want to get caught up in these. Plus, you know, there's a teaching in the Parinibbana Sutra of quite the opposite of these, of you know, true happiness, true permanence, true self. Quite the opposite of what we understand and. The idea is not to necessarily get caught up in these teachings, even as correct as they may be.
So, 他问的说，可不可以说有一个无我、无常跟这个空，而且这三个都是苦，那就可以，这是生字，这是词汇而已，这个你不要执着这种观念。 但涅槃经也是有一个道理，是说有这个真正的我、真正的样子、真正的愉快，所以我们就是要看不同的方面来看同一个东西。Okay,
sir. Yeah.
When you refer to no thought, does that mean the absence of consciousness? After death or before birth?
他问的是没有思想无想，这是不是跟死掉以后的脑筋根本没有思想的意思，是不是一样的？
Oh, consciousness is certainly associated with thoughts. It's something of a problematic term. I mean, it's vijnaya in Sanskrit, and it's the awareness, right? So there's always an awareness, I believe, but that awareness in deluded beings is rooted in a sense of self, rooted in desire and hatred and ignorance. So it says actually in the sutra of complete enlightenment that you are to try not to have deluded thoughts arise in your mind. But when deluded thoughts arise in your mind, you are not to seek to have them depart. So the deluded mind and the enlightened mind are one and the same in Chan practice. It's we just look we look at them in our own deluded way. We're looking at the world through a very, very narrow focus. And so consciousness is something that we can associate it with the deluded mind, but it's it can also be associated with the enlightened mind. But it would there's a certain point, I think Sherpa has said that consciousness after enlightenment simply becomes wisdom. But that's a remarkable transformation.
觉悟跟思想当然有密切的关系，我们的思想也是很不清楚或者是开悟的，这两个思想就是不是一体的，只是一样的，但是我们说这个众生，我们根本没有办法弄清楚我们的观念，我们的观念是模糊的，所以我们师父也说，这个你开悟以后。 你的决心，你那个觉悟，就变成智慧。
And actually, just to supplement a little, also in the Sutra of Complete Enlightenment, they talk about refining gold from ore, and perhaps you could think of consciousness as the ore and gold as the wisdom. They're really one and the same. You can't really separate them.
这个圆觉经也是比有一个比喻是说，你把黄金，你就是从那个黄金石头弄得变成干净的黄金，你就是要把智慧从我们的觉悟弄出来。Any
okay, well, thank you everyone. Thank you for coming and listening.
谢谢各位。